Hello, and thank you once again for joining us for K-Pop Cosmos. I am your host, Freya, and joining me once again is Mark, who I should probably just make co-host completely and officially right now.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I am good, Freya. I am right now kneeling, and you're putting the sword on my shoulder. I am now officially a member of K-Pop Cosmos.
Yep, you're the official co-host now. Which I kind of actually just assumed you were anyway. So I'm just verbally making it official.
Sure, I was gonna be a co-host whether you want me or not. I'm just gonna show up regardless.
Exactly. But I enjoy having you on the show. So. So anyway, I'm actually really, really excited, and I'm not even gonna hide my bias for the group we're gonna be talking about tonight. So we are going to be talking about a fourth generation K-pop group. So they're newbies, rookie groups, and we are going to be talking about 80s. Mark, you told me that you saw them before, but you didn't really like investigate them before. Is that correct?
That is correct. I saw one of their performances of I can't remember the name of it. They were wearing really kind of westerny outfits, like lots of fur and leather, and like, man, these kids they're dressed really uniquely for a K-pop group, but they dance amazingly well. So I definitely remember visually seeing them, but that was it. That was the only 80s that I can recall experiencing.
Think were they all in white? Was it like full white outfits?
No, they look like cowboys. Kind of like cowboys, but with lots of straps and lots of asymmetrical gear on.
Oh, it might have been Hala Hala outfits where they're like trench coats and they have chains and stuff on them. I don't know. They have a lot of very interesting outfits.
Yeah. It'll come to me. It'll come to me when we talk about it.
Yeah, so they have a lot of very interesting group outfits, which they're very appealing on stage, I should say. So before we get into that, so 80s, there's 8 members, and they're under KQ Entertainment, which is not one of the big three. It's I don't really want to say it's a small company. It's like a medium-sized company, I guess. Because I've seen KQ a lot. And their members are, I've been kind of slacking on this, is maybe I'm just going to skip the names. Seonghwa, Yuno, Yoseng, San, Mingi, Wooyoung, and Jungho. And I am so sorry I butchered so many of their names. I am ashamed of myself because I should be better at this. But anyway, this group kind of has it has like an overarching concept right now, which people pick up on very quickly, and their concept is like pirates, which you can tell from the music, because all of their music has like some pirate vibes going on. Even when they're dressed as cowboys, there's some pirate stuff vibing going on. And I absolutely love that about this group. It makes them very unique in that sense. And along with the pirate theme, they're currently wrapping up a story arc with their albums, because I guess they're no longer looking for the thing is, like, the first one, they're setting out on an adventure to go find this treasure, and then they've just found it in their last album. So they said it's kind of the end of the treasure seeking Pirate King arc. So I'm kind of curious what they're going to do now. But anyway, so that's very interesting. Also going on with that pirate theme, their cute little light stick that they just came out with, I think last year, they actually let the fans design it, which is very unique. And I really like it. I might just buy it because I like the design. It's a globe with a compass inside with an hourglass. And then also the little handle is, it's like a locked door with a keyhole, but it's also a like spyglass. It's really, really unique and interesting. So,
you know, I, for some reason, I didn't pick up, I'm an idiot, because I didn't pick up on that pirate theme at all, despite the fact that their albums are named, you know, after maps and after treasure. And there's a video of them literally on a pirate ship. And then as soon as you said pirate, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now you know. They're pirates.
Now it all makes sense now.
Yeah. So, also their fandom name is called, 18y, which is a combination of 80s plus Destiny. Cause we always gotta, you know, have the fan names linked somehow. Also something I didn't know that I found out while researching is that 80s, it's an acronym. So
really?
Yeah, it's kind of broken English sounding, but it's a teenager Z. So they're Z generation teenagers, because they were pretty young when they debuted. They were like late teens, early 20s. So yeah, so that's what it means. A teenager Z. I'm like, okay, that like, makes sense.
They were pretty young when they debuted like 2 years ago. So they're still pretty young.
I know, but 2 years, you know, you go from like 17 and now you're 20 or 19, you know, or 18 and 20, or you know what I mean. I can't do math right now. But yeah, and also very interesting about ATs is let's see, they because they're newbies, they don't have, or they didn't have a lot of fans, and because they're not from one of the big three, they kind of were like under the radar for most people. Until that, they performed at MAMA, which is the largest music award show in Asia. And then that kind of shone the spotlight on them and their performance, because they're really good performers. During that performance, they weren't really acting like rookies. They're twirling their mics around and they're ad-libbing and stuff. So, you know, because when you're trained to do something and you're new at it and you're not comfortable, you follow exactly what they tell you to do. It's like, don't deviate, gotta follow, you know? But then when you get more cocky, it kind of, because you're more loose and you do weird stuff on stage. Also, they're really good at, dancing, because they were actually sent to the U.S. To train. They trained in dance at Movement Lifestyle and Millennium Dance Complex. And those are both in LA. So, they were trained over here in the US, which is really cool. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're so good at, you know, performing and dance and everything so in sync, because they actually were trained by professional dance companies.
Yeah, I would say that makes sense, because they have a lot of swag when they dance. Like, there's a lot of like extreme confidence, like up to like 10, you know, 10 and 11 it goes to. So it would make sense that they would have learned that over here in America, that just kind of that bolstering, posing, swag dance moves. That makes total sense.
Yeah. Yeah. We learned to, cause I went to dance once and I was like, this is not for me. I'm too much of a klutz, but they were very much in the, like, you gotta have the confidence, be cocky, you know, get, you know, need that vibe about you. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I can't do it. I'm like, I'm done. So, I have no rhythm. But it's, yeah, so I was very intrigued whenever they send people over to the US to learn how to train. Also, two of their members trained at Big Hit Entertainment before they switched over to KQ. So, and everyone should know, we'll talk about Big Hit at another time. We haven't talked about any of their groups, and I kind of feel like I'm slacking on that. But anyway, moving on, they weren't really all that popular at first. I think their first album only sold like 100 and something thousand. However, their latest album went platinum on the Gaon charts, or Gaon, can't say, Gaon charts. And so they hit platinum with their last one. So I think they said they sold over 347,000 physical copies.
Wow.
Definitely counting the downloads. So yeah, so they're rookies and they're hitting platinum already. So that's pretty intense. Also, as of I believe this year, the Korean Cultural and Information Services, who is I guess an affiliate of the Ministry of Sports, Culture, and Tourism, named ATEEZ as the 2020 promotional ambassador. So they're official ambassadors of Korean culture and tourism now.
Which that's is insane. They just came out. They're still very new.
They are insane. Well, what happened is they may not have been popular in, oh, also the 300 and something thousand was only in Korea. That's not counting international sales. So, actually, they're very popular international, yes. Internationally. Because in 2019, I actually wanted to go to one of their concerts, but I had BTS tickets, and so that kind of won over that. But
that's tough right there. You have to make a decision between those two.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I'm not even going to talk about the fight I had to get to just get the BTS tickets. But I was hoping to go to see their concert this year, but then COVID happened also. It's like I'm never going to see ATEEZ. But their tour in the U.S., they went to New York, Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, and Los Angeles, and they sold out every single day. And then they were also invited to KCON in Japan and New York and L.A., and then also they had a world tour. Okay. World tour. And they had all of their dates in the U.S. sold out, and many of their European dates were sold out. So these boys are very, very popular internationally, which, you know, I would like to say is thanks to YouTube, you know, because you can find all this stuff now. You know, you don't have to be in the country to find, you know, music from that country. You just look up, you know, best K-pop groups or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, YouTube has definitely made the world a lot closer. Like even when I first started to get into K-pop, the thought of going into a record store or going into any store and actually getting an album, I look like a moron. Do you have Girls' Generation here? And they're like, what are you talking about? But now... Yeah, the fact that you can go into like Target and get, you know, have a choice of K-pop albums to buy, that's amazing. It's amazing. So yeah, I definitely feel like the internet is definitely allows more fans to be in touch with some cool stuff, especially especially boy bands. Come on.
Yeah, because I bring this up. I'm so old. I remember, you know, when I first got into K-pop, it was because I was pirating. I wouldn't say I'm pirate. I wasn't being a pirate. I was watching Asian TV shows online. and then after each, after the episode was over, they would have a music video from a group or a singer. And so then I would have to search around the internet for that singer or that group. And that's how I found Shiny, and that's how I found Super Junior and all these other groups. But it was hard. Like I had to spend a good, like I would say 10, 15 minutes just to find a video, like one performance. And it was difficult. And so I'm really happy because now I also remember when these K-pop groups opened their YouTube accounts, and I was so excited. I'm like, yes, I can actually follow their YouTube accounts now. I think the very first one I followed was 2NE1, and I was like, yes, I can watch their music videos, and they're all in one spot, and now they're going to upload other stuff. There were no English subtitles, so I had no idea what was going on. But it's very interesting. But now it's unheard of. Like, everyone has English subtitles on their music videos, and they have countdowns for when their music video drops on YouTube. And it's very, I feel very old because it's very interesting. I'm like, back in my day, but it's great. And I'm super excited because now these guys, because K-pop idols are so talented, it is just mind-boggling, because if you don't know how to sing, you won't be a K-pop star. If you don't know how to dance, you're not going to be a K-popper. You have to be like triple threats at least to even debut. And if you debut, it's not guaranteed you're going to be making it, because then there's like 36 other groups of super talented and attractive people who you're competing against now.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm like, and that's why I think a lot of people like K-pop, is because you know they're talented. Because it you can't be untalented and be a K-pop star. It's not gonna happen, you know. But ATEEZ is one of those groups that because I'm going on rants, I apologize. I love watching their dance versions of their music videos, because just the way their dances are very, how to put it, hyped up. They're very swaggy. They're very cocky and confident. And I just absolutely love watching their dancing. And their songs are fun too, because I'm a sucker for pirates. So, and whoever is doing their costumes are just killing it with the costumes and the themes. And it's just great. So sorry, I've been talking a lot. What are your thoughts, Mark? Sorry.
No, it's fine. I knew of that one performance from ATEEZ, and I kind of remember hearing about a band that was doing a tour that sold, they were only doing 5 dates and sold out automatically, or instantly, I should say. And looking back, I guess that must have been ATEEZ that did that. So, doing a research for this, because of my other things that I work on, and I have, I have my job and all that other stuff, I didn't really have time to start watching all of their videos. I have seen a ton of them, but it was very recently. So my way of getting into them was Musically. So I would just have their music on while I was doing other things. And I could not believe how good these songs were. First, I couldn't believe how many EPs there were, because you said they're a rookie group, and I'm like, oh, this should be a breeze. Probably have maybe one album, maybe. But no, it's a ton. There's a ton of music. So I put it on, listened to. I think I listened to them chronologically, up until the newest ones, and I could not believe how amazing these songs are, and not that's an okay song. These songs are amazing. And I instantly thought, before I even saw a music video, I instantly thought, if they ever go on tour, I am going to see them in concert, because just the music alone, they're going to put on an amazing show. So, yeah. And then I started to watch the videos, and I'm like, oh, these guys are legit. They are legit. So, they're definitely what I feel is the kind of the complete package as far as a K-pop boy band is. Their style is very westernized. I can see them, if their songs were all in English, I can see them being just super popular here in America. I mean, not that they aren't now, but the way that their songs are constructed, they don't really they have their lane. It's very straightforward, it's very powerful, and very energized. They don't lean too heavily into like a artsy type of thing like other boy groups would do. They're very specific and very straight on, and music wise, they're amazing. I was blown away by their music. So I'm definitely looking forward to I have my playlist, my K-pop playlist that I do every year. So every song that came on, I'm like, oh, okay, adding that one. Oop, adding that one. Oop, adding that one. I almost added almost a whole EP. So yeah, I'm a big fan of their musical, their their musical stylings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's their music style is, I want to say it's unique because you can always tell it's them. You know, how some boy groups you're like, or some K-pop groups just in general, you're like, oh, this is this group, or, you know, without even really thinking about it, because you can always pick out people's voices and stuff. But like style wise, musically, they're very, very their own thing, which is good because it makes them stand out even more. But also, something else that happened, because they had to cancel their 2020 concert, and I was upset because I couldn't watch it. They had a free virtual concert, which was their Crescent Party, and that had over 1.4 million views, viewers at like live. And I wasn't one of the live viewers because I had to work, because, you know, Korean time and whatnot, I think is like 15 hours or more, you know, from the US. So that would have been like, I think it was like at 2 a.m. or something. But yeah, 1.4 million live viewers for a rookie group. That's insane. Also, something else, they, when I watched this, they appeared on Immortal Song, Singing the Legend, and they performed a cover of Turbo's Black Cat Nero, and they actually won the episode. And wow. Yeah, and that win made them the first fourth generation group to win on the program. So it was amazing.
that is staggering to me, because I saw that clip. I didn't watch the video, because I was trying to watch all of their just regular music videos.
Yeah.
But I did see that pop up, and I thought, wait, I don't remember seeing like any, you don't really come across a lot of, at least I haven't really come across a lot of boy groups that are on Immortal Song.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, you know, lead singers or like a few, you know, guys from the group, and usually they're groups that they've been established for a while. So when I saw them on Immortal Song, I'm like, holy crap. These, like, they are just, they're going for it. Like, they have got to be, it takes some stones. It takes some stones to be a rookie group and be on a show like that. So I'm very interested to go back and check out that performance. If they won, oh my God.
Yeah. Because they're going up against seasoned, you know, seasoned singers and stuff. And they won. I was just like, oh my gosh. But something is, it's just, because they have the whole package, you know, they got that stage presence, they got, you know, and that really helps, because, you know, you can go to a performance and someone can be really good singing wise or vocally, but if they're not giving off like the stage presence or the persona or the swag that they need, the performance is going to feel lacking. Because they are putting on, it's a performance. It's like going to Broadway, you know, and they're not like, they can sing, but they're like, with the acting. And that's why I, once again, I love this group, because they got it, you know, for a rookie group, they're phenomenal. And because they're rookies, they're going to keep getting better, you know? So like, they're supposed to be at their worst right now.
Yeah, right.
So it's just, great. And also, going on with like their music videos, because we haven't talked about their music videos so much, I was just stuck on how good they are like live. Their music videos are very unique. Well, I don't know, some of them. So they're very them, is how to put it. Because like you said, they have one where they're on a pirate ship and it's flying through the sky. I was getting some like Final Fantasy vibes with like the airship. Just without the propellers. And I think they even have a flying ship in their music video, Thanks, at the very end. It comes in with like the black and red sails and stuff. And they even mentioned Jack Sparrow in one of their music videos.
That doesn't surprise me at all now.
Yeah. So I was like, it's very interesting. And I think, and then there's one that's Hala Hala, and they're wearing these like black cowboy getups, and they're all wearing face masks, so you can't really tell who's who, because you can't see their faces at all, you know. And so they're all just dancing.
I have, to, I have to tell you that I, even though their faces were covered, there's one that wears a, that has a mullet. I was able to spot him right away.
That's their leader. Because I gave him a nickname, I can't remember his real name. I think it's like
Hong Jung.
Yeah, and he also, I believe he wrote and composed, what was the song? Aurora. So yeah. Their company's already letting them write and compose their own songs, which is unheard of for rookie groups. But I think, honestly, once I got used to, I'm going to be completely honest also, it's hard to tell who's who in the video, except for, Hong Jung because of his mullet. However, I can always spot Mingi because that dude's built like a brick wall compared to the rest of them. He's very like broad and big, but that's why I could tell him. I'm like, oh, there he is.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But and he's also my favorite. I love all of them, but Mingi's my favorite. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not gonna lie.
I usually don't pick a bias, but I have a bias in a group, and that's it's Hong Jung, because of the mullet and because he composed Aurora, which when I listen to all of their songs, that's the one song where I like stop dead in my tracks, and I'm like, this is one of the most amazing K-pop songs / songs I've heard this year. I play it all the time, like over and over again. I love that song. It's my favorite song out of all. I mean, all of their songs have really amazing, just style wise. It's just like strong beats and confidence and very powerful. And Aurora is just like a mid tempo, but kind of a sweet but not ballady song. It's just like it's a nice medium blend. But it is, the composition of that song is staggering. I could not believe how good it was. And then when I found out that he composed it, I'm like, all right, he wins. Like that, you're my bias, dude. The mullet started it, but composing my favorite song, you win it. So that's my guy right there.
Yeah, and they're all really great guys. Their lead vocalist Jungho is great, as well, and San is like has those like sharp eyes, and I love them. Like everyone has their own unique flair and flavor, and that's why it is hard to pick biases, but there's just something, like you said, you like Hong Jung because of his, and I'm sorry, I know I'm saying his name wrong and I apologize, I will work on it, but like his composite Aurora is a beautiful song, and I don't know, Mingi's just a magnet for me for some reason. I don't even really know why yet. But It's just kind of one of those things. My eyes always follow him in the performances and stuff. And so I'm like, oh, I guess he's my bias because I just keep staring at him.
But, I'll bet that's the case for most. I bet that's the case for most women that watch the videos, too. Well, probably most people, definitely most women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, with girl groups, too. Like, you just all of a sudden, your eyes just latch on to one person. You're like, what is wrong with you? Why am I watching this person so much? But yeah, and I gotta say, their video for Inception was very well done as well, because they did the, I think it's like they're in a dream within a dream, and it really kind of came off as that. Also, I'm not gonna lie, I mean, I have a thing for when they do the schoolboy uniforms, but like the high school, the mature school uniforms. I'm not talking like the shorts and stuff. Shorts are just like, oh, to elementary school, that's creepy. I very much like, because they have like the suit jackets and the button-up shirts and the long pants, and then some of them have the sleeves cut off. I'm like, I like the school the school uniform look. It might also be because in the U.S., we don't really, I mean, we do, but most schools don't have school uniforms, so it's kind of like a foreign concept to a lot of people. For me, it is, because I never had to wear a school uniform, ever. So it's kind of, when you're not used to something, it kind of like attracts you, I guess. At least for me.
I will say I love that video. I think that video is probably my favorite out of all of them. Partly because of the fact that there's a part where they're dancing in water.
Yeah. Which
is, it's kind of a common thing, but you know, they're dancing and it's eight of them. So they're all, you know, doing this incredibly sharp pointed choreography in water. But above them is a screen, like a giant LED screen that's showing fire. And that contrast was so visually amazing to me. And I'm like, how many, like this label just, they must have crazy money or they are pouring all of their energy into this group. Cause I can't imagine them having label mates, like looking at a video like that going, oh, well, we gotta do better than that. Like there can't be that many groups under that label. Cause that's a lot of production value for that video. And it looks staggering.
Yeah. So the thing with, and also I love the water dancing as well. But because it is, like you said, it is very aesthetically pleasing. You just like, it sucks you in and it's beautiful, but, it is used a lot, but there's a reason why it's used a lot. It just kind of like, it draws you in. I don't know why, but it does. and let's see, KQ Entertainment, because you mentioned that they really kind of they kind of don't have a lot of people. Let's see, they have some soloists. Hyo Yong Sang. Sorry, I don't know his name. I apologize. There is a group that a couple people I know. There is Block B, which I know from Second Gen.
Yep.
And then there's other soloists, Yukon, Park Kyung, P.O., B-Bomb, Jaehyul. And let's see, they used to have Zico.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah, it's a solo artist. You can just say, hey, stand in front of this tree.
And
we'll have the camera sweep around you and you just look into the camera. Like there's no, like Zico or no solo artist is going to get a floor filled with water and a ceiling on fire.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think they are pouring like all of their money into them and it's working because these boys are very popular internationally. I mean, I haven't heard of a rookie group that's been out as short as time as them, who wasn't in the big three, who had a million plus viewers on a live stream.
Yeah, I think it's also helping that they're putting out content, like a lot of content. Usually there's huge gaps in between, you know, whenever a K-pop artist makes their comeback, there's usually usually a big chunk of months, probably like 6 or 7, 8 months. Maybe they'll do one or two comebacks a year. The fact that they're only 2 years in and their catalog is so deep, that's gonna appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah, they have 4 EPs right now.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It is crazy, and I love every single one of them. You know, once again, I'm biased. I apologize. But let's see what they have. Actually won some awards. They've won some of the weekly stuff as well, which is very good. But weekly awards are weekly awards. And sorry, I don't put any, like, it doesn't matter if your artist wins awards. If you like them, you like them. Who cares if they win awards, you know? I have, like, some groups that have never won an award, not even a weekly award. Also, I think weekly awards are ridiculous, but that's just me. But
it's a status mark. They have to be able to do it for their fans so that, you know, the record label will be like, oh, okay, fans love you. Or we poured money into your group and fans love you. And they've shown it by giving you this award. So now we'll give you more money.
Yeah.
Gets into the next level.
Yeah. But, you know, I think record sales should be more of the, hey, people like you and concerts. But, you know, awards are nice to put on the shelf, especially for rookie groups. So once again, I don't like them, but you guys don't have to listen to me because it's just my opinion. You guys can love the awards and whatnot. But anyway, so let's see. Genie Music Awards, they were nominated. New Male Artist. Best K-Pop Music Awards, they actually won a Performance Award. And then they were nominated in MAMA. So, and they were nominated for Artist of the Year, which they did not win. But they won World's Fan Choice, which is amazing. And then they were nominated for Best New Male Artist. And then they got MTV EMA Awards. They got Best Korean Act, Golden Disc Awards. They were nominated for 4 awards. They won one of them, which was the Next Generation Award. And then they were also nominated for 3 awards in the Seoul Music Awards. So they're already racking up the nominees or nominations and wins. Because they're doing really well.
Their label must be so happy right now. It's like, we just debuted you guys, and already you're doing all of this. Oh man, we've made the right choice.
Yeah, and this was all just 2019, so we haven't even gotten to the 2020 awards, you know, season yet for stuff. So I am excited for them. I feel like a happy, like proud older sister. You know. Ah, I feel old. But I just want to see them live so much. But yeah, I don't even know where to. I just keep going back to their performance because they're just so good. Their performance is just so good.
So the performance that I saw that where they were wearing the outfits that I remember, it's "Say My Name." That's the song. Because I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning singing that song in my head, and I'm like, oh, that's it. That's the song. That's the first performance that I saw of them that made them stand out to me.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think I'm remembering their outfits in that one. Sorry. I always get stuck on like the black, like straight black cowboys.
Yeah.
Because they were also wearing that in that music video too. So.
Yeah, I can see there's definitely some kind of. There's definitely a storyline going on within their music videos. And I haven't like gone back to start at the beginning and follow it. I thought I was following it chronologically, but then I found out there was a video for Aurora, and I'm like, all right, screw all that. I'm going right for that song. I love that song. So yeah, at some point I will go back and follow the storyline because each video ends with like a little clip of something else that's coming. And I have seen them wear those, that black outfit with the bandanas. Yeah. Yep. And the chains. Like I've seen that in a couple of videos. So there's definitely like a storyline going on. And at some point I will kick back in. Now that I know that they're all pirate themed.
Yeah.
Now I'm definitely going to go back and watch them all.
It's more like pirates versus cowboys. Now that I'm thinking about it. Because I think not their latest one, because that's Thanks. But their music video for Answer. They're sitting at a table. And on one side, it's just kind of, it's them in like their normal get-ups and whatnot. And then on the other side of the table, it's like them in their hala hala, like the dark cowboy outfits. Oh. And they're all sitting across the table from themselves. And it's kind of it's like a dark version of them versus the light version of them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, of course, the dark version's the cowboys and the light version's the pirates. And then, like you said, they also ended it with this weird guy in he's all in white and he's wearing a total head mask thing with spikes on it, and he's walking around the room, and the room's been like completely destroyed. I'm like, what is going on? Who is this dude? What's going on? Because the whole music video's name is Answer. I'm like, I have more questions now than answers.
By the way, I love that song too. That was the first song that I put down in my notes. It's like, this is an amazing song. If I ever get a chance to see them in concert, this is a song that I'm going to be looking forward to. Before I saw the video, just the song itself is amazing.
Yeah. I think the song I would like the most at a concert was probably be Wave, just because it's like, it's just kind of like a fun, chill song to me. Anyway, I think it's called Wave. Sorry, now I'm second guessing myself.
No, it is. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I want to say Caribbean vibe to it. I don't know. Sorry, guys, if I'm all wrong with my terminology, but I like that song a lot. And it's very much like a woo, you know, fun song. The other songs are like, yeah, hype, woo, you know, headbanging type, jump up and down songs. And this one's more of a, you know, fun song, you know, party on the beach. But yeah, they definitely are either on the must see in concert list. So some groups you're like, oh, I like their performance, but don't really want to go to a concert. And I'm not going to name names for that because I will get ripped apart. So, but I'm not saying they're not talented. I'm just saying I don't want to see them live, but I will, you know, but they are definitely on the list of you should check out, especially if I want to say if you're new to K-pop, but you want to just see a good show and have a good time, I would say check them out. Because some groups, I guess it wouldn't be more fun if you really are into K-pop, you know what I mean? And you're kind of, but this group is something that you're like, I don't know what they're saying, but I don't care because it's the beat and, you know, it's pirate. Who doesn't like pirates? I'm sorry, I'm stuck on the pirate thing. Because who doesn't like pirates? Who doesn't like love Pirates of the Caribbean soundtrack, you know, with that piratey, you know, stuff? And that's what it feels like. I'm like, this could be the Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, soundtrack. Because it's just, it has that very, I don't even know what's a pirate vibe. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. But check it out, I would say, because these guys deserve so much attention. Not, you know, but anyway, yeah, sorry.
I would definitely say that, you know, being the fan that I am, I'm definitely more, and I've said this before on the show, I'm gonna lean more towards girl groups because I'm a guy, and nothing against guys. I just, that's what I'm just naturally, my attention immediately goes to, if there's a girl group video and a boy group video, immediately my attention is gonna go to the girl group video first. That being said, if the coronavirus was over and they said tickets for ATs go on sale tomorrow, I would be buying tickets tomorrow. I would definitely go see these guys live because they are different than other boy groups that I've seen. They definitely have a style that's definitely more energetic and more to not just like flashy videos, but more to like, to putting on a good show, basically what you were saying before, their performance. They're geared towards that. Just their songs alone, you're going to have a good time at a show. So, yeah, they are definitely a boy group that is now not only on my radar, but super high on my radar, just in a little bit that I've gotten to know them.
Yeah, they're great. And they are like showmen. The showmanship is amazing. With the limited budget that they have, because like I said, they're not really from a big company. They're from a small company. So they don't have the production budget that these big companies have. So, I mean, you're going to get a great show, but don't expect like freaking like inflatable stuff or, you know, crazy confetti cannons everywhere and whatnot. They're going to just have the stage. It's going to be very simple, but it's going to be a lot of fun, which, you know, honestly, to put on a good show, you don't need that much extra, I would say, fluff, the extra fluff. Girl groups are, because like you said, you are more likely to watch a girl group video, but that's all by design. Girl groups are meant to attract male audiences more than female. Not to say that, you know, girls can't have, you can like whoever you want to like, but that's what they're more geared toward. I mean, they're wearing the short skirts and they can do the cute things and the cute dances and the, you know, because their main point is to have male viewers. Also, if you watch girl groups perform, and you know, when they have the crowds and stuff, you hear guys, you don't hear girls doing the fan chants. You hear a group of dudes, you know, doing their fan chants. And I'm like, yes, most of their fans are guys. Just like with guy groups, almost all of their fans are females. And that's why they stare at the camera the way they do, you know, because guy groups, yeah, they're more rough and tough and whatnot or whatever, but they're designed to attract females, and girl groups are designed to attract males. Even though the girl groups are cutesy, that's kind of the point, you know? So it's kind of, which is different for the West, because I remember thinking of Spice Girls.
Right.
Spice Girls were not, I don't think they were really geared towards men, from what I can remember, from like the 90s. Backstreet Boys were Backstreet Boys, so I mean, NSYNC, they were all geared towards girls. But I think initially, I think girl groups and boy groups in the West are all geared towards young girls.
Right.
Because, yeah, from what I can remember, I don't remember a lot of guys being into the Spice Girls. Well, I mean, you know.
The Spice Girls I know a couple of guys that were into Spice Girls, me included.
Why? Yeah, but you know what I mean. They weren't like, doesn't feel like they were designed for like attract men specifically.
Yeah, no guys is gonna go into high school and be like, yo, did you hear that new Spice Girls song last night? Did you see that new video last night? That's not gonna happen.
I love Baby Spice, man. She's my bias. She's my favorite. But yeah, so sorry. Anyway, yeah, it's culture thing, I guess. It's a different world, man. It's different. K-pop in its own is like, it's its own culture. Like I think we said before, it's like a cult, but you don't have to drink Kool-Aid. You know, it's because it kind of is like you find your leaders or your group and you're like, okay, they're my guys, except for people like us who like multiple groups. But you know. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not making fun of K-pop. I love K-pop. Oh my gosh. Gotta admit, it has some cult-like, you know, similarities.
Yes.
We have our little meetings, and but anyway. Oh, so I because I like ATEEZ so much, and I'm bad with names, and I'm sorry. I can't even remember some of my friends' names, so it's not just the guys. But one of the members, he can and I'm just amazed. Who is it? For everyone who's better with names than I am, you know, write comments or something or let me know. One of our members can actually rip fruit apart with his hands.
Oh, I know that. It's Jung-ho. The youngest one. Yeah.
So I thought so, but I wasn't 100% sure. I was just mixing names around, but yeah, and I watched him break a watermelon too. I was like, what's wrong with this kid's hands? Stop breaking. I think they were doing like a karaoke thing and they just kept bringing different fruits out for him to like rip in half.
I saw that. Yeah, he had like a basket of apples and like he'll be singing and just take an apple and just cut it, just rip it in half. Just like boop, pop it right in half.
Yeah, staggering. They're like, oh, here's a watermelon. Here's a melon. It's kind of terrifying, actually. But oh, I love and gotta watch some extra stuff because then you get more of their personalities, which also sucks you into the group. But yeah, for some just quick final thoughts, because I'm sorry we're I'm sporadic. You're great, Mark. You actually keep.
No. Fine, you're fine.
I would say this is definitely ATEEZ is a group that I would say is pretty safe to show to friends or family who aren't really into K-pop because they are such fantastic performers. They'll visually draw you in. Like I showed them to some family members who don't really like K-pop, but they're like, oh, these guys are really good. And I really like, they're really good dancers and they're really energetic and whatnot. So if you want to try to like, you know, sneak K-pop into your family a little bit, these guys are definitely the group to do that. Because they don't do the aegyo. They haven't done a cutesy music video where they're like wearing bright colors and doing the, you know, the cute flower things and stuff. they don't do that. So, you know, which I think that is one of the main turnoffs for most people is they're like, why are they doing that? It's weird. But especially for Western audiences, mm-hmm. but they don't do that. Their music is very like tough and piratey, and their performances are great. So they're definitely a group to do that. Also, they're definitely a group to go to a concert for because they're just great performers. I'm hoping that KQ will allow them to continue to do more writing and producing for their songs, because obviously their leader has already proven himself with Aurora. And so I really hope that they continue with that, because I think some of the best songs are actually written by the artists and not the songs that are hired out from, you know, just third parties, because usually they don't translate well or something. But yeah, that's my final thoughts. Any final thoughts for you, Mark, on ATEEZ?
Yeah, I will say, again, their songs are constructed amazingly well. They have some, and you know, I hate to make the comparison to like Coldplay, but there's certain like Coldplay songs that, you know, when they do that in concert, like the crowd is going to go nuts. It's like a very kind of even more than like the typical fan chant of the back and forth. Like there's a definite connection between the audience based on the way that the song is constructed. And ATEEZ has a handful of songs that are like that, that definitely makes me want to see them in concert. Yeah. And it also has some songs in English too that are really good. I was like, oh wait, this song's in English. And then another song comes on, like, oh, this song is also in English. Oh, not bad, not bad. So, yeah, the variety of styles that they have, the production of their songs. They have one song called Horizon that has like a trap beat, which is, you know, it's common in K-pop, or common in music these days. Mm-hmm. And then it switches over to like a Middle Eastern type of beat, which again, it's a little bit common, but the fact that those two are together was pretty cool. And then it switches into a dubstep beat, and this is all in one song. And I'm like, all right, these guys they're operating at a higher level than most K-pop music that I listen to. So, yeah, I would say, since they're a rookie group, if you haven't checked them out, definitely give them a look. Now that I know that there's a pirate theme, that makes them a lot more interesting to me to see that follow through. But musically and visually, they are working on a level of K-pop that is that stands out from the rest, and I'm very impressed by that. Very impressed by that.
Yeah, they are amazing. Also, I think they know English because of their time spent in the U.S. Because I did watch some of their concerts, and I mean, it's still very elementary for most of them, but they were engaging with their fans in the U.S. by speaking English, so that's, they also got a foot up on that too. But anyway, so that's going to be it for ATEEZ. However, we're going to be doing our little K-pop word of the day. It's not really a word per se, but it's something that I even mentioned before, that you'll hear going into K-pop, is the Gaon music chart. Once again, I know I'm saying that wrong. I suck at Korean. So it is a weekly popularity of song or albums chart in South Korea. It's essentially the Korean version of Billboard charts. The Japanese Oricon charts. Billboard, it tracks the sales of albums and songs, and they update it every week. They also have an awards ceremony and whatnot. So think of it as Billboard. And just like that, they have like album charts, digital charts, download charts, streaming charts, mobile charts, and whatnot. And how they do their awards is So they have platinum for 250,000 sold, and then double platinum is 500,000 sold, triple platinum is 750,000 sold, and then they have like the millions. So and then to get diamonds, you need to sell over 10 million.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So getting diamonds, like, freaking impossible.
Seriously.
Easy. But yeah, so this was relatively short, but just for people to know, other countries do have their own billboards, not called billboards. And that's also a good way to find music, because that's what I did with my Japanese music, is I found the Oricon charts, and I went through and I'm like, oh, this is high ranked. You know, I went through the chart and like, this sounds interesting, or this is ranked high. I wonder why it's so good. So that's, if you're interested in getting into the music, and not just K-pop, but just, you know, music in general, from Korea, check out the Gaon chart, and it's G-A-O-N. And that's one of the best ways to find it. Because whenever you ask someone, like, what's a good group to listen to, they're going to throw out their faves. And you're going to get a huge list of, like, well, honestly, you'll probably get a lot of the same groups, because popular groups are popular for a reason. And so you're going to get, like, all of their followers throwing one name at you. But if you want more of, like, a broad aspect of, like, not just K-pop, but, like, Korean rock or rap music or something, this is the way to go. Because then you don't have other people with their biases. This is just like, you know, oh, this did really well. You know, a lot of people are listening to this. I wonder why. So I think that's the best way to find stuff. I think that's how I found a Korean rock group called The Rose. But this, we're not talking about Korean rock here. So,
so for, yeah. For the record, whenever I make a list of K-pop for anyone, I always throw my bias in there. I don't care. I don't care if the Wonder Girls haven't put out an album in years. Their song is getting in on your playlist.
Yeah, I'm the same way with SHINee. I'm like, check out SHINee. They're still around over 10 years. Check them out. So that was the K-pop word of the day. Along with our shows, I am also on The Definitive Crusade, which talks about everything DC Comics related. So if you're interested in that, check out my other show. And Mark, what other podcasts do you have going on right now?
So my other show is a weekly show, So Wizard Podcast, S-O Wizard Podcast. And every week, me and Joy and Aubrey, we get together and we talk about news, nerdy news that happened that week. This past episode, we were talking about all of the spinoffs that are happening, how Nick Fury is getting a spinoff, and Suicide Squad is getting a spinoff TV show. And we review movies every week, or try to, movies and TV shows. One of the last ones we did was Enola Holmes, the Sherlock Holmes spinoff that's on Netflix. So yeah, every week we talk about nerdy stuff and give our opinions and some recommendations. And that's So Wizard Podcast. You can find us at SoWizardPodcast.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that stuff.
All right, that's sweet. I didn't know that Suicide Squad was getting a spinoff, so that'll be interesting. Well, thank you guys once again for joining us on K-Pop Cosmos, and we will see you next month.
Bye, everybody.